7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Atha Bhaje Vakila Purushottamam Gunalayam Padama Pariva Lalasa Api Abayor Eka Pati Spritho Palya Na Shat Prita Pach Saranaika Tanayo Athapachi Vakila Purushottamam Gunalayam Padma Kariva Lalasa Viyavayoreka Pati Spridho Kali Nasat Pritat Pak Saranaya Katanayo Tabati Pakila Purushottamam Gunalayam Padma Kariva Lalasa Piyabhyoreka Pati Spridho Kali Shat Prita Tvat Charanay Katanayo Abhati Tvakila Purushottamam Gunalayam Padma Kariva Lalasa Piyabhyoreka Pati Spritho Kali Shatrita Pacharanay Katanayo Sabaji Patilam Purushottamam Gunalayam Padma Kariva Lalasa
अथ देख अभजन आई शैल एंगेज इन डिवोशनल सर्विस
त्वा
अंटू यू
अकीला
ऑल इंक्लूसिव पुरुष उत्तमम द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड गुना अलायम The reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Padma Para. The goddess of fortune. Who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Diba. Like. Lalasha.
Being desirous.
Opi.
Indeed.
Abayo.
Of
Lakshmi and me.
Ekpati.
One master.
Split
hole.
Competing.
Kalihi.
Quarrel.
Na. Shat. May take place.
Krito.
Having done. Twat
Charana.
Unto your lotus feet.
Eka
Tanayo.
One
attention. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, the Lord Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Now I wish to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to serve just like the goddess of fortune. Who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Because His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all transcendental qualities, I am afraid that the Goddess of Fortune and I would quarrel, because both of us would be attentively engaged in the same service. Please repeat. And now I wish to engage in the service of the lotus feet
of
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to serve just like the Goddess of Fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Because His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. I am afraid that the Goddess of Fortune and I would quarrel, because both of us would be attentively engaged in the same service. Purport. Here the Lord is addressed as Akila Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the entire creation. Purusha means the enjoyer, and Uttama means the best. There are different kinds of Purushas, or enjoyers, within this universe. Generally, they can be divided into three classes. Those who are conditioned, those who are liberated, and those who are eternal. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal of all Eternals, Nityo Nityanam. Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities are eternal. The Supreme Eternals are called Vishnu Tattva, or Lord Vishnu in His expansions. So Nitya refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beginning from Krishna to Mahavishnu, Narayana, and other expansions of Lord Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu, there are millions and trillions of expansions of Lord Vishnu, as Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, and other incarnations. All of them are called eternals. The word mukta refers to living entities who never come within this material world. The Buddhas are those living entities who are almost eternally living within this material world. The Buddhas are struggling very hard within this material world to become free from the threefold miseries of material nature and to enjoy life. Whereas the Muktas are already liberated. They never come into this material world. Lord Vishnu is the master of this material world, and there is no question of his being controlled by material nature. Consequently, Lord Vishnu is addressed here as Purushottama, the best of all living entities, namely Vishnu Tattvas and the Jiva Tattvas. It is a great offense, therefore, to compare Lord Vishnu and the Jiva Tattva, or to consider them to be on an equal level. The Mayavadi philosophers equalize the Jivas and the Supreme Lord and consider them to be one, but that is the greatest offense to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Here in the material world, we have practical experience that a superior person is worshipped by an inferior one. Similarly, Purushottam, the greatest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Lord Vishnu, is always worshipped by others. Ritu Maharaj therefore decided to engage in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Ritu Maharaj is considered to be an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but he is called a Shakta Abhish incarnation. Another significant word in this verse is Gunalayam, which refers to Vishnu as the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. The Mayavad philosophers take the absolute truth to be Nirgun, without qualities, in accordance with the impersonalistic view, but actually the Lord is a reservoir of all the qualities. One of the most important qualities of the Lord is his inclination to his devotees, for which he is called Bhaktavatsala. The devotees are always very much inclined to render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord is also very much inclined to accept loving service from his devotees. In that exchange of service, there are many transcendental transactions which are called transcendental qualitative activities. Some of the transcendental qualities of the Lord are that he is omniscient, omnipresent, all-pervasive, all-powerful, the cause of all causes, the absolute truth, the reservoir of all pleasures, the reservoir of all knowledge, the all-auspicious one, and so on. Ritu Maharaj decided to serve the Lord with the goddess of fortune. But his desire does not mean he was situated on the platform of Madhudurasa. The goddess of fortune is situated in the service of the Lord in the rasa of Madhudya, conjugal love. Although her position is on the chest of the Lord, the goddess of fortune, in her position as a devotee, takes pleasure in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Ritu Maharaj was thinking only of the lotus feet of the Lord because he's on the platform of Dasaras, or servitorship of the Lord. From the next verse, we learn that Ritu Maharaj was thinking of the goddess of fortune as a universal mother, Jaganmata. Consequently, there was no question of his competing with her on the platform of the Madhudaras. Nonetheless, he feared that she may take offense that he's engaging in the service of the Lord. This suggests that in the absolute world there is sometimes competition between servitors in the service of the Lord. But such competition is without malice. In the Vaikuntha world, if a devotee excels in the service of the Lord, others do not become envious of his excellent service, but rather aspire to come to the platform of that service. Om Agyan Simitam Dasha Dhinam Dhinam Shalakaya Prashudam Nukam Dhinam Kashmaya Shri Dhinam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So, Srimad Bhagavatam, the information we get from this Srimad Bhagavatam, here is just one shloka, one purport. Look at the subject matter that it's encompassing. Here, the story of King Chitu, the king. Now he's seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. It's not some white light or anything like that. He's talking to God face to face. And down to earth, literally, Lord Vishnu has come down to earth, said he's standing on the ground. So literally, we see the Pitu Maharaj is talking to the Lord. He's hearing instructions from the Lord. He's talking about the Lord, the God's wife. What's she got in her hand? She's got a light of nice lotus around her. So where is this information available in any other scripture of the world? Anywhere in the world. It's way, way beyond any other religious scripture. And everything is here in the Bhagavatam. And then the pure devotees comment on the Bhagavatam. And so much knowledge is given. They're talking about the qualities of the Lord, talking about the sentiments of devotees, talking about different relationships, even talking about Madhujirasa. Madhujirasa. Where else in the world is there a scripture like that? Everyone's struggling really to understand what is God. They haven't come to this point really of understanding who is God. They can describe some of his qualities, specifically his omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. But he has unlimited qualities. But his form, his pastimes, different relationships with devotees, that is not discussed anywhere else in any literature of the world today. So this is the great benefit of the Kali Yuga, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearing in Kali Yuga and presenting Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana. It's dealing with all of these different subject matters. The living entity, God, the material world, the relationships that go on in between. So here Prabhupada is using most of the purport. He's speaking, elaborating on the word Purushottam. Purushottam. Akila Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the entire creation. Purusha means the enjoyer. Anuttama means the best. So he's the best type of enjoyer. The Prabhupada is pointing out there are different types of enjoyers, and he says generally they can be divided into three. There are three classes. Those who are conditioned those who are liberated and those who are eternal. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal of all Eternals, Nityo Nityanamas. Both the living entities and the Lord are eternals, but there is a different gradations there. So this is, Prabhupada quotes this verse all the time actually in his books, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanya Chaitanam. It's from the Katha Upanishad and the Shvetashara Upanishad also. There are many eternals. The Jiva is eternal. God is eternal. But we see some are conditioned in the material world, like us, we are bound up in this material world. And others are free in the spiritual world, they are not bound up. And then there is the Supreme Lord, who is he is the master of the bound jivas, he's the master of the liberated jivas. So he's in a separate category. So Prabhupada uses this verse often because it defeats the Mayavadis. And he points out quite a bit about the Mayavad in this purport, how their misunderstanding of everything. But specifically that verse, is in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada speaks about it in the chapter 15, Purushottam Yoga. Purushottam, the greatest person. The 15th chapter, and and it says, translation is, there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible, and in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. 17. Besides these two is the greatest personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered in the three worlds and is maintaining them. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person, Purushottam. So here, two classes of persons, the fallible and the infallible. So the impersonalists can come, that's okay, they can accept that there is a class of persons who are conditioned and a class of persons who are liberated. The Jnani's goal is liberation. The impersonalist's goal is liberation. So they can understand there's a distinction between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. But then Krishna says, but besides these two, there is another one, another living personality. That is the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself. Who has entered in these worlds and is maintaining them. So this is a big puzzle. This the impersonalists, they can't understand this. They can't get through this. There's three. Two we can understand. There is but when you get liberated, then everything's one. So how can you have something beyond liberation? Another eternal, a supreme eternal. What is the difference? That verse says, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanam. What is the difference with, there's eternal, there's plural eternals, and there's a singular eternal. We are eternals, but there's a singular one. What is the difference? If we're all eternal, between us and God, because we are eternal, God is eternal. So the difference is that one, singular one, he maintains all the others. We cannot claim to maintain this world and everyone else, but that singular Nitya, eternal, he claims to that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, who is maintaining. So this one's the Mayavadis, they cannot understand this, this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore they don't comment on it, they leave it. They read it, but they'll go over it, they won't give any comment, because what can they say? It's called the Trishloki Gita. It's the because it's revealing so much of the ethics of Bhagavad Gita. In Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura's commentary, he elaborates even more. Prabhupada says it but more subtly, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, he kind of just directly says it, that he says there are two conscious beings in the universe, the collective jivas and the Brahman. The collective jivas are all these living entities, and the Brahman is fixed with one form all the time. In other words, they're all liberated in Brahman. The others are separated from Brahman. So we are separated due to this material body, and we're identifying, so we are all separate. But there is one type of jiva, all liberated, so they're all Brahman, they're all one. So they're both conscious beings, the jivas and the conditioned jivas and the liberated jivas. So the bound jivas are all the living entities with destructible bodies. As long as we've got a material body that is destructible, then we're called conditioned or bada in this material world. And the liberated jivas, they are fixed with one form for all time, that is the, because they're fixed in Brahman, and Brahman is one. So, the conditioned living entities are going through these different changes because the body is destructible, and then you get a new body, so you change. But because we have destructible bodies, therefore we're constantly changing. But the liberated souls, he doesn't become bound because he doesn't have a material body. He doesn't have a destructible body. So therefore there's no change. So therefore he remains as Brahman. And he has no connection with this world. Now Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says in the next verse, first he makes a distinction, there's two kinds of souls, the conditioned and the liberated. And then there is another one. He said, because I am superior, but the highest person is different from this. He is described as Paramatma. Although he is a controller and unchanges, he enters into the three worlds and supports them. So, here's another person, now he's Krishna speaking, here's another person, the Paramatma, who enters in and he supports the other living entities. So, supporting and maintaining cannot refer to the jiva, the conditioned soul, because we can't create, we can't maintain this world, we can't create and maintain. That's obvious. So it doesn't refer to the bound jivas. And the muktas, they don't touch the material world. So why would they bother to create? So it doesn't refer to them. So he's referring to the Paramatma. It is he. He's beyond the conditioned souls and the liberated souls. He's the one who is maintaining everything. So now the impersonals have got to figure this out. Who is that third person? Or the second person? But then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, because I'm, this is Krishna, he's Krishna's the shloka, 18th. Because I am superior to the jivas, to the Brahman, and to the Purushottam, known as Paramatma, and even to the other forms of Bhagavan, I am celebrated in the Vedas and the Smriti as that supreme person. I am Purushottam, the greatest, the highest of all persons. So he's pointing out these different living entities. So this is a real puzzle for the impersonals, but what can they say? It's Krishna's own words, but it's very forcibly or directly. Krishna directly is directly bringing it out. beyond the, I am beyond the conditioned souls, I am beyond the liberated souls, I am beyond the Paramatma even. And I'm even beyond all the other incarnations of Bhagavan, because I am the Supreme Person. So here's another one the Mayavadis and Impersonalists have got to think about. We didn't want, they don't like any kind of duality, but not only is it duality, there's another fourth person coming. They've got three or four things to deal with there. So this is Krishna's position. So he is beyond spirit, he is beyond matter. Because the spirit and matter are his energies. So this is important shloka. It's called the three. These three slokas are called the three sloki gita, or three sloki gita, because they are essential, the essential slokas of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O Bharata. This is the most confidential part of the scriptures, of the Vedic scriptures. O sinless one, it is now disclosed by me. Whoever understands this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So here is the most confidential part of the Vedas in these few slokas here. Because in Shloka 15, Krishna says, I am to be known through the Vedas. I am the creator of the Vedas, I am the speaker of the Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas. So because I know the Vedas, I'll tell you those three Vedas about these Vedas in three verses, Arjuna, because I know the Vedas. No one else knows. I'll explain to them in three slokas what is the purpose of the Vedas. So this is the essence of the Vedas that Krishna is speaking. In other words, he's showing the position. We are eternal, nityo nityanamas. Everyone is eternal. The Lord is eternal. Now you see everything in perspective. Are you an eternal conditioned soul? Are you eternally liberated soul? Are you the eternal Paramatma? Are you eternal Bhagavan? This is the position of the world. If you know these eternals, then you can put yourself where you belong. Then you're rightly situated. Then you said you know it. It's understood you know everything. Because you know Krishna's position. You know Paramatma's position. You know the position of the mukta. You know the position of the conditioned soul. So, if you know ultimately it's Krishna who's the source of all these different eternals, it is he we are approaching. It is he we are surrendering. It is he we are learning to serve. It is he that we are developing our affection from. And once you know this, that he is the supreme affection of all. Then you can understand everything. Because you know the source of everything. It's like when Krishna and Balaram took their bath in Apura, Ghat. Then after that, they sat on the chariot of Apura and took his bath. Went to take his bath, he saw Krishna and Balaram were in the water. He said, "That's funny, I thought they were in the chariot. I saw, now they're in the water." So he went back to the chariot, and he saw Krishna and Balaram sitting on the chariot. He thought he may be hallucinating or something. Anyway, I'll go back and do my duties and take my bath, etc. He went back to the river. This time he saw Balaram was an antashesh and Krishna was Narayan. They were sitting on he was floating on the water. So they revealed their form as, you know, the lords of the whole creation. Anyway, after Apura went back, he offered many prayers. Then he went back to the chariot and Krishna and Balaram were on the chariot again. So they were smiling. You saw anything wonderful in the water? And Apura said, "When I see you, my lord, what wonderful thing do I not see? Because when I see you, you are the source of everything. There's not, in that sense, nothing is different from you. Nothing is separate from you. So when I see this form before me now, what wonderful thing do I not see?" So this is the idea. When you understand that Krishna is everything, and specifically when you develop affection for Krishna, then that affection is eternal. That's all pervading, like Krishna. Then you have affection for everything, because it's Krishna's creation. When you see the beautiful sunset, it's my Lord's creation. And you'll feel everything reminds you of Krishna, because nothing is separate from Krishna. So constantly it's awakening your affection for Krishna. So this is the purpose of the Vedas. It is to awaken our affection for Krishna. So we have to know who Krishna is. We have to see what his position is, what is our position. Otherwise, how will we become affectionate? But when we understand Krishna's position and his greatness and our insignificance, that we're not Krishna after all. This is why we came here. But now I can see clearly, because Krishna's enlightening us with all this knowledge. I can see clearly. I'm not. I thought I was God. You know, that's been my consciousness for billions of births. Now I can understand Krishna's position. How great Krishna is. First we have to understand how great Krishna is. Then we can love him, Prabhupada. So these three slokas, they are bringing out this essential point of awakening the jiva to his constitutional relationship, his affectionate relationship with Krishna. There's nothing else to be known. So that's why these slokas are so important, the three sloka Gita. There's also another very famous slokas, that's called the Chatushloki in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And beginning with, it's in the 10th chapter, text, begins with text number 8, Aham Savasya Prabhupada. Krishna says, I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with their hearts. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, and their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge darkness born of ignorance. So this is the Chatushloka. It's another very important part of Bhagavad Gita, because it's bringing the essence of knowledge and devotion. Every Krishna is starting, I am the source of everything. Everything is coming from me. And the wise, they worship me. And they take great pleasure in discussing. That's all they do. They talk about me all the time and serve me. And because they do that, because they're constantly devoted with love, Krishna says it's I who gives the understanding by which they can come to me. So we may think that we may have to be cultivating so much knowledge or so many good qualifications or whatever it takes, like the Gyanis and the Yogis and the Karmis, their result depends on the qualities that they are attaining. They're dependent on their qualities to achieve their different goals. But Krishna's not saying that. He's not saying it's how much knowledge you have, how much yoga you know. It's not all these things. He said, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Because they're devoted to me. I'm not giving the jnanas. Well, indirectly I'm giving the jnanas by showing them the path of jnana. Indirectly, I am showing the yogis by giving them the path of yoga. But directly, I give my devotees the understanding by which they can come to me, because they are approaching me directly. You can understand there is a different result if the act... If the activity is different, the result will be different. So the karmas are approaching Krishna. They get a different result. They get the fruits of their work. The jnanis are approaching Krishna through the process of jnana. And they get their result, or Brahman, from Krishna. The yogis are approaching Krishna to understand his super soul. So Krishna gives them the result of that yoga by revealing his super soul. And for his devotees, directly, I give them the understanding by which they can understand me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond the universal form, beyond the Brahman effulgence, beyond the Paramatma feature. It is I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of special mercy, to show them special mercy. Why doesn't he do that to the Karmis and the Gyanis and the Yogis? Why isn't he showing them special mercy? They're also his children. Because they're not devoted to Krishna. They're not approaching Krishna with affection. Although by nature, everybody has this affection. They're approaching Krishna for some benefit from Krishna. They're not really approaching in the mood of service. But the devotees are approaching Krishna in the mood of service. So Krishna says, for them, to show them special mercy, I destroy all of that ignorance in their heart with the foresight of knowledge. Krishna destroys it. So this is the loving dealings that Krishna has with these devotees. This is actually what he wants, to have these affectionate dealings with these devotees. Just like he's known as Bhaktivatsala Prabhupada. Just like here in Prithu Maharaj's case, we see that Prithu Maharaj, he's seeing the Lord face to face, and the Lord is also captivated by Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj can hardly speak in the beginning, and then slowly he can speak. Krishna is also captivated. It says he wanted to leave. Generally Krishna comes and he gives his order and says something, he goes. He said he wanted to leave, but he couldn't leave because of his devotee. We had a nice example yesterday of Yudhisthira. Krishna was leaving for Hastinapur, or leaving Hastinapur, for Dwarka and Yudhisthira. He wanted to go, Krishna wanted to go. Please, Krishna, stay for some time. Krishna couldn't refuse. He's captured by his devotees, by his appeals of his devotees. He couldn't go, okay, he stayed a long time. Prithu Maharaj, he's not even asking the Lord to stay. The Lord wants to stay. Usually he just comes and does his little bit and then he goes. It's not common. So his audience is not very common. He's not going to hang around a long time. He just comes, gets the essence of knowledge and he goes usually. But here, he wants to go but he can't go. He said he's captivated by the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. Bhaktivatsala. So here, this is what Krishna wants. And he wants us to revive this original love for Krishna. And here, the goddess of fortune, Prithu Maharaj is saying, maybe the goddess of fortune will become angry with me because I want to serve his lotus feet. She's serving the lotus feet and there'll be a fight. Maybe some competition. This is like when Sita married Ram. Then she said to Lakshman, I'm serving, I have to do this service, I'm going to massage Ram's feet and look after him. Lakshman said, no, it's my service. She said, no, I've done it all the time. She said, no, I'm married to him, now I'm his wife. It's the wife's duty to serve him. I'm taking that service. He said, I'm his brother, I've been doing this all my life. You can't take that service from me. So they're having an argument. They said, let's go and tell Ram. They said, Ram, she's trying to take my service. And she said, it's my duty, I'm your new wife. I have to serve your lotus feeding. So Ram said, I don't know what to decide. We better ask Vasishtha, the great sage. So they went and asked the sage, what shall we do? I got a problem here. So Vasishtha said, okay then. Lakshman, you can serve Ram in the daytime. Sita, you at nighttime, you'll do your service at nighttime. So competition was going on. But anyway, do you see the subject matter that's being spoken of in the Bhagavatam? a quarrel, a competition. How can the in first instance, again, there's another religion ever understand. I come to that point, you know, there's a quarrel going on between in the spiritual sky. Beyond their comprehension, in the must have been the Ashwamedha Jagga of Yudhisthira when he performed that. Then they performed a great sacrifice, and afterwards Krishna was taking his bath with all his queens. He got 16,000 beautiful queens, and they were playing with stringes and things like that, and embracing each other in the water, and all the Gandhavas and the Siddhas and the Chayanas and all the angels were dancing, and the whole big festival music concert. Prabhupada said it looks like a great ocean of sense gratification. What was going on? He said, it's all transcendental stuff. He said, but the Mayavadis, they couldn't even dream or imagine anything like this. I mean, it was like a big sensuous orgy is going on, or something like a big party is going on, a sensuous party is going on with the Supreme Person of God and the thousand wives. He said, how can the Mayavadis even dream? I'm even close to thinking of something. But it goes on in the spiritual world. And the devotees also take part in it. So this is one of the greatest of Krishna, that he allows his devotees, because actually the karmis want to enjoy it. They will worship the karma yoga to enjoy the material world through Krishna's grace. The jnanis, they want to enjoy the bliss of Brahman, as Krishna's Brahman. The yogis, they want to enjoy the siddhis from Paramatma. They all want to enjoy it. The devotees want to enjoy it, but they want Krishna's enjoyment. And therefore, they get enjoyment equal to Krishna. But why be satisfied with material enjoyment or enjoyment from Brahman or enjoyment from Paramatma when you can enjoy equally with Krishna? Krishna allows that for his devotees. They enjoy equally. There's no difference when they're all performing their pastimes. So they're enjoying equally with God. Greater. Some cases. Anyway, this is the wonderful literature of Srimad Bhagavatam, brought to us by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's comment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Any comment? Janati.
What does it actually mean that Krishna is Bhakti Vatsala? And how is it present to the devotees?
How is it friendly? Prabhupada gives the example of Bhishma. This example of how Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala, friendly to his devotees. Now when they're on the battle of Kurukshetra, then Bhishma Dev's promised to kill the Pandavas. I'll kill them. At least I kill Arjuna. They tricked me, they took my arrows, special arrows. Anyway, I'm going to kill Arjuna today. And they were fighting ferociously. And Bhishma Dev was so experienced. He's fought on thousands of battlefields. He was the greatest general ever. He was such an expert. He was far, far superior than Arjuna. And now he was really letting Arjuna have it. And these arrows. Arjuna couldn't even move. He couldn't even load his bow or anything because he was so expert. Bhishma Dev in firing his arrows and so fast, Arjuna was completely lost. He was helpless. And he was full of arrows and he was going to be killed, and Krishna promised he was going to kill him. He wasn't going to back out now. And he was. And then Krishna saw that. And Krishna, he had promised not to fight. He had promised not to take part in that battle. But when he saw the precarious condition of Arjuna, he was going to be killed. Then Krishna just jumped off his chariot, even rushed, he just picked up anything, probably a broken chariot, and went, Krishna! And rushed towards him to pick him. Like a lion rushes towards an elephant. And Krishna Dev said, oh, here is my love for object, here is my worship for the Lord. Death personified for him, actually, for everyone else, but Krishna said, oh, yes, my love for the Lord. He's coming. So, although Krishna had promised he wouldn't take up any weapons, he wouldn't take side in the battlefield, but there you see he took up his arms. So now he's going to be called, he's not going to be called, he'll be called an immoral person, he broke his word. On the battle, he promised he wouldn't, he broke his promise, so. But Krishna said, I don't mind being called immoral, I don't mind being called whatever you call it. But I want to be known as Bhagavata. That I want to be known as. Even if I break so many other qualities I'm supposed to have, of being a good man, a moral man, a religious man, I don't mind if you want, you can. But let it be known that I am Bhaktavasa. I want you to protect my devotee Arjuna. Let it be known. My devotee will never vanquish. Even I have to break my own promise. Even I have to take up weapons. That I don't mind, but I as long as I'm known as Bhaktavasa. Anyway, that's one example of Prabhupada uses.
I've never heard the term three sloki gita.
Oh.
It's after sloki. Where does that come from?
Where is it coming from? I can't remember. It's probably Vishnu Chakravarti. I think you'll find it in Gurujan's Surrendarantami. He will mention there also where it's coming from. I think it's probably from Vishnu.
What verses are there again?
15. 16. No. 15 chapter.
15, 16, 17.
What?
These verses
from the Tin. Three sloki gita or tin sloki gita. Three slokas. There are two classes of beings, fallible and infallible. And then there is the super soul who maintains, and then the next verse is, I am beyond both the fallible and the infallible, therefore I am celebrated as Purushottam. Yes, ma'am. How to develop affection for Krishna to those who are envious of him. Yeah, that means everyone envious of Krishna. This is the original sin, Prabhupada. Everyone in the material world, ultimately it's because of enviousness of Krishna, Prabhupada. Somehow or another we became envious, and that's why we're imitating Krishna. That means envy, we want to be little gods. So how to develop that affection for Krishna? So yeah, the envy is unnatural. The affection is actually natural. That is an eternal feature of this living entity. We are created with perfection. We are ready for Krishna's pleasure, so we have perfection to offer to Krishna. That's what he wants. And the enviousness is unnatural. So, if it's not there, perfection is not there, then we are obliged to follow the rules of the Vedi Sadhana Bhakti process. The Pancharachaki rules, we have to follow very strictly sadhana. This will cleanse all the dirty things in the heart. It's given by Rupa Goswami, who's Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari doesn't follow the Vedi Sadhana process. They follow this spontaneous, she already has a natural affection for Krishna. So Mahaprabhu and his associates are all coming from the spiritual world to come to give this process, Yukta Vairagya. They've come to give, actually, prema, which is natural for the soul, but if we cannot take it immediately, then they give the process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. Follow the rules and regulations, Pancharachaki rules, rising early, take bath, daily your sadhana, and that will purify our existence. It will purify all the envy in the heart, especially the chanting of Hare Krishna and associating with devotees. We just read a very nice thing a few days ago in the purport here about how it's the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of Krishna that mix with the words of the pure devotees when they speak it, and those dust particles actually purify bursting and awaken his love for Krishna. So it's very, very important that we're hearing from the pure devotees, because that's carrying the saffron dust particles. That sound vibration also has mixed with it, those dust particles. And Prabhupada says in that purport just a few days ago that he says, my bodies say, well, why are you chanting Hare Krishna all the time? You know, why don't you get into some meditation? It's kind of external, your chanting and things like that. But why not get into meditation? Because it's for the in person, so I like to meditate. It's a process. And Prabhupada said the answer is that why the devotees don't give up chanting, so they can't. He said, once you hear the chant, he said, you can't give it up. It's just so attractive, you can't give it up. And that is because of the dust particles are there. With the sound vibration of the holy name, that is what's purifying the heart. So much so, you can't even give it up. Even we may not be getting taste, we may not be feeling affection for Krishna. Still every day we get up, we chant our rounds, and we associate with devotees. We can't give it up. Even when we'll be tasting, relishing at the moment, but still we can't give it up. So this is the evidence. Otherwise, why would we be wasting our time? You leave your countries and your occupations and your other side of the world in a strange climate, strange. And you're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the whole life has changed and you're not getting a taste. See, we can't give it up. So that means it's acting on the soul within. It's we're appreciating. It's just a matter of time before that. Matter of time before we become serious, actually. That's all it takes. It takes a lot of seriousness. Become serious about the process. We need the process. We need it more than anything. When we become serious about that, then it speeds up very quick. Once it's achieved, once the affection is achieved, then spiritual life goes very, very quickly. I mean, the progression goes very quickly and it's very blissful. From that time on, it's very... Once you get a small taste. Even perceiving Krishna, as it says here, what some of the qualities is, just perceiving how in nature. But when you have some affection, oh, it's my Lord's creation. that affection. That's just the beginning. But once it's there, then spiritual life becomes very tasty all the way through. Okay.